As we know, this weekend is a time we take each year to remember the sacrifices that have been made by countless soldiers and families so that we can know the freedoms we enjoy as American citizens. Aren't you thankful for the men and the women who willingly made such sacrifices on our behalf? Amen. And of course, as followers of Christ, it's also a time when we can reflect on the sacrifice that Christ has made on our behalf, so that we can know freedom from the punishment of sin, which is spiritual death or eternal separation from God. Aren't you thankful that Christ has provided that freedom for us and that no one can ever take that freedom away? Because of both of these sacrifices, the sacrifice of Christ and those of the men and women of this country, we have been provided with the responsibility as followers of Christ to be ambassadors of Christ and to share the message of the gospel, the message of reconciliation with the world. And we've also been provided with the religious liberty as American citizens to share that message with others in our nation. Now, whereas we will never lose the responsibility of being an ambassador of Christ, what is becoming more and more apparent within our nation is that what the men and the women of our nation gave their lives for, so that we could have the liberty to live out our faith in Christ and to share that faith with others, that liberty is increasingly coming under attack. And may I just say that it is a crime against the memory of all the people who have given their lives so that we could have this right. It's a crime to try to diminish that right and take it away. Since religious liberty was the primary reason why our forefathers established this nation in the first place, our forefathers saw that as the foundational right to all other rights, that the right to worship freely, the right to live out our faith freely, that to know God and to carry that message, that it is Christ who sets us free, and therefore that is why we're free, and that is why we can live free in this world, because of religious liberty. And men and women died to give us that right, and yet there are people that are working to take it away, even as we speak. And so this morning I want to talk about our responsibility as ambassadors of Christ. And I want to talk about how our rights of religious liberty as Christians still comes with a cost. And finally, I want to talk about how God remembers His covenant with us as His people when His ambassadors experience suffering and sacrifice for the sake of being His ambassadors. God remembers those things. And so as we remember what He's done for us, what we need to know is God remembers also the sacrifices that we make in His name. Isn't that encouraging? Isn't that a blessing to us? That God remembers our sacrifices. But we're called to be ambassadors, amen? 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 21 says this. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we as ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us, we are ambassadors for Christ. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." Paul was saying that to the Corinthian church, amen? He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Now, when we talk about being an ambassador for Christ, ambassadors are a representation from one country, a representative from one country to another country. Amen? And one thing about an ambassador is they don't go to another nation to share their opinions. They go to represent the positions of the country from which they come. And so they are simply just to relay the message and the positions of the homeland. How many know we are aliens and strangers of this world? That we've been bought with a price, we are not our own. And so as ambassadors of Christ, we do not have the right to change the message that Christ sent us to speak to this world. It's His message. We're just simply an ambassador to relay the message to the world, whether the world likes it or not. Amen? So we're called to be those representatives in this world. And this morning, we're going to look at a couple of God's early ambassadors and apply their experiences with our experiences currently as ambassadors of Christ in our nation. We're going to look at Moses and Aaron. Let me know, God called Moses to be His ambassador to the nation of Egypt. Now, the Bible doesn't use that word, but that's exactly what Moses was he not? He was God's representative to go to Pharaoh and say, "These are my people, let my people go." And so we pick this story up in Exodus chapter 5. We're going to look at it, Exodus 5. We're going to look at the whole chapter of 5 and then the first 9 verses of chapter 6. So let's walk through this. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says." Right? Speaking for God. "Let my people go, so that they may hold a festival to me in the wilderness." Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord? And what should I, that I should obey him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go." Then they said, "The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Now let us take a 3-day journey into the wilderness to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God, or he may strike us with plagues or with a sword." I mean, no, God means business. And when he sends his representatives and people don't listen, the judgment is upon their own head. Amen? Verse 4, "But the king of Egypt said, 'Moses and Aaron, why are you taking the people away from their labor?'" See, he was acting like he possessed the people. "Why are you taking them away from their labor? Get back to work." Then Pharaoh said, "Look, the people of the land are now numerous, and you are stopping them from working." How many people think that the United States of America has gotten a little big for their britches? And they're trying to tell us certain things that God says, no way. No way. "That same day, Pharaoh gave this order to the slave drivers and overseers in charge of the people. 'You are no longer to supply the people with straw for making bricks. Let them go and gather their own straw. But require them to make the same number of bricks as before. Don't reduce their quota. They are lazy. That is why they are crying out, 'Let us go and sacrifice to our God.' Make the work harder for the people so that they keep working and pay no attention to lies." Many people are starting to experience in their businesses that don't want to compromise the word of the Lord, that the government is trying to impose upon them now to do something that violates the word of the Lord. With the whole homosexual marriage issue, with this transgender push that our president is now sought to put on us to force us to share bathrooms with the opposite sex. I'm telling you, Pharaoh is in the land. And Pharaoh's going to meet his maker and his match. Let's continue on. Then the slave drivers and the overseers went out and said to the people, "This is what Pharaoh says." So they're playing as Pharaoh's representative. How many know Pharaoh's got a few representatives in the land? How many know Kim Davis met some of those people? If you don't know who Kim Davis is, she's the one who would not sign marriage licenses to same-sex couples. How many know the slave drivers came to speak for Pharaoh? Don't think we're not headed down this road, and some are already have already experienced it. The slave drivers and the overseers went out and said to the people, "This is what Pharaoh says, I will not give you any more straw. Go and get your own straw wherever you find it, but your work will not be reduced at all." So the people scattered all over Egypt to gather stubble to use for straw. The slave drivers kept pressing them, saying, complete the work required, or you for each day, just as when you had straw." And Pharaoh's slave drivers beat the Israelite overseers they had appointed, demanding, "Why haven't you met your quota of bricks yesterday or today as before?" Then the Israelite overseers went and appealed to Pharaoh. "Why have you treated your servants this way? Your servants," might as well say slaves, "are given no straw, yet we are told, make bricks. Your servants are beaten, but the fault is with your own people." Pharaoh said, "Lazy, that's what you are, lazy. That is why you keep saying, 'Let us go and sacrifice to the Lord.' Now get to work. You will not be given any straw, yet you must produce your full quota of bricks." The Israelite overseers realized they were in trouble. How many people think some people are realizing we're in trouble today in America? And when they were told, "You were not to reduce the number of bricks required of you for each day." When they left Pharaoh, they found Moses and Aaron waiting to meet them. And they said, "May the Lord look on you and judge you. You have made us obnoxious to Pharaoh and his officials and have put a sword in their hand to kill us." Interesting, isn't it? Isn't it amazing how when the pressure comes, those leaders that God has sent come under a little persecution even from within the house. Moses returned to the Lord. Okay? Even leaders, folks. Trust me, when the heat comes from the sheep, the shepherd goes to the Father. Trust me, been there, done that. Okay? Why? Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Why, Lord, why have you brought trouble on this people? Is this why you sent me?" You know, you don't know how many times pastors that are called to truly stand for the word ask that. You know, I feel blessed as a pastor in the kind of government that we have as a church. That we have the presbyters that are our governors. But I know pastors that are accountable to administrative boards and deacon boards. And if the deacon board or the elder board doesn't like how things run because the pastor's taking a stand for the truth, they have the authority by their church government, not necessarily by God's government, to fire the pastor. What would happen here if the Israelites had the right to fire Moses? To say, "We're done with this. We're not putting up with this." But God has set his government in place. Here's another thought. Don't ever stop to think that you're only accountable to God. There's too much of that statement going on in the church today. I'm only accountable to God. Oh, really? Well, then what about that passage that says, "And he, Christ, gave apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry so that we might all together fulfill what God's plan is." Amen? God has put his government in the earth. And this is one of the reasons why the church is in such a mess today. Because they do not understand biblical delegated authority. And they think that the pastor is just a hireling. that he's there to do their bidding. He's there to serve us. He's there to pastor us. He's there to show up at the hospital. He's there to make, you know, comfort us when we're hurting. That's not what the pastor's role is. It's to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry, to be ambassadors of Jesus Christ. That's the role of the pastor. And I will tell you, it grieves the pastors because there are pastors who are having their flock come to them and say, "Why are you doing this? Why are you talking about pro-life issues? Why are you talking about same-sex marriage? Don't you know people are leaving the church? Don't you know dollar bills are going out the door? Stop doing that, Pastor. We're losing people. Things are not going well." How many churches are dealing with that today? Thank God this isn't one of them. By the grace of God. And I thank you for that. But here's Moses crying out. See, pastors can look at things from a natural perspective too. They're human. But Moses says, "Lord, ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble on this people, and you have not rescued your people at all." Whew, that's a pretty big accusation of Moses, isn't it? Thank God that God is gracious with us leaders too. Amen. I mean, he could have went, "Done with you, Moses. I'm getting another guy." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Now," I want you to hear this, "now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Because of my mighty hand, he will let them go. Because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out of this country." God also said to Moses, "I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty, but by my name, the Lord," which really is, it sounds in the Hebrew like the words "I am." "I did not make myself fully known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan where they resided as foreigners. Moreover, I have heard of the groaning." I have heard, listen to this, "I have heard the groaning of the Israelites whom the Egyptians are enslaving." Listen to this, "and I have remembered my covenant." Isn't that a good word? You need to know this. When you're standing up for Christ and you're getting persecution or rejection or pressure or whatever because you're standing for the truth in the name of Christ, and the world doesn't like it, God remembers his covenant with you. Don't ever think that he has left. He's forsaking you. He has promised, "I will never leave you or forsake you." Just because things are difficult in what we see and in our circumstances does not mean that God's not in something. That's a lie from the pit of hell. And chances are the enemy's the one that's coming around the back door that's bringing the suffering through people. And then what do? We blame God for it. And we don't even realize that in the midst of the pressure, God's about to set you free from all of that. But guess what? Sometimes it gets darker before the dawn. Sometimes it gets hotter with more pressure before the freedom comes. But God remembers his covenant with you and me. "Therefore say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians." You need to remember that, people. Listen, I don't care what's going on in this culture. Don't you think for one minute that God can't sweep in and rescue us out of this mess? Amen? Now, I'm not just talking about the rapture either. Selah. God knows the end from the beginning. There's nothing impossible for Him. We need to remember that. Now, well, before I get ahead of myself, we'll keep going. He says, I will free you from being slaves to them. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and mighty acts of judgment. Now, where did the judgment come? It came to Pharaoh and it came to the Egyptians. Don't you think for a minute, I don't care. Pharaoh was too big for his britches. I'm just going to say this today. I respect the man's office, but President Barack Obama has gotten too big for his britches. He has now encroached upon God's territory. And don't you think for a minute that God can't humble him. Don't you think for a minute that God's not already at work. I believe the Lord's already in the process of humbling the Republican Party because they have bought into Pharaoh's garbage and they have enabled Pharaoh. And they have not done what they were called as representatives to do. And God is in the process of doing something. I don't think any of us fully grasp what He's doing right now. I really don't. I think there's things happening that we are yet to see. And I think God is, and tell you what, isn't it interesting that before Mr. Obama's presidency is ending, He's turning up the heat. Oh, come on, people, something's coming. Something's coming. I don't know what, I don't know how, but God's got something in store. I don't think He's done with America yet. How about you? I don't think He called this nation to be an ambassador to the entire world to leave us destitute. Do you? I don't. God's got something coming. And we don't even quite yet know what it is. But we cannot give in to a slave mentality. He says, I will take you as my own people and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord. Moses reported this to the Israelites. But listen, but they did not listen to him because of their discouragement. And harsh labor. Folks, there's a lot of people in the church today that are discouraged. They're feeling burdened because they're seeing this nation at the most destitute place they've ever seen it. I tell you, there's been times in the last months my heart's been heavy myself. But the Spirit of God is beginning to speak something to me. He's saying, look up. Look up. Don't look at what you see. Look to me. Look to my word. That is from where our hope comes from. Amen? I don't believe God's finished with us yet. But currently in America, we are under an oppressive regime. And the root, its root is a whole system of demonic schemes working to destroy this nation. Why do you think, of all nations, both without and within, the enemy has been devising schemes against this country? Do we have the right to be proud? Do we have the right to be elite? No. Because the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. And we have been found wanting in this nation and lacking in this nation. But we are yet called. I believe God raised up the United States of America. Think of the process of leaving Britain for religious liberty. Look at the similarities between America and the Hebrews in Egypt. Now, I'm not going to go out there, clear out there on the limb to say we were God, God's chosen people. But I am saying we were a chosen people. The United States of America, I believe, is a chosen people that God raised up to take the gospel to the world. And it has happened, but the enemy has been fighting it ever since. And since the early 1960s, there has been a major agenda from within to tear down everything Christian. And unfortunately, we have been blinded to it as Christians, and we have experienced such blessing in this nation that we spent many, many years before we started to see what's happening. And now, because the church has become affluent and blessed and so on and so forth, there's many people that are direly trying to hold on to that blessing. All the while, the culture is encroaching further and further and further upon us. And too many pastors and too many church leaders are being self-preservational, and they're worried about their own little church rather than being salt and light in the culture. Whether you know it or not, the enemy's schemes are intensifying, and now at an unprecedented level in this nation against the church. But rather than being ambassadors for Christ who speak on behalf of God in this culture, and rather than confronting the oppressive schemes that people are seeking to implement and tell them what God's position is, instead, far too many leaders and people in the church are acting like the slaves of Egypt. And they're telling those who are seeking to be ambassadors, just be quiet. Stop making it worse. You're only making us obnoxious to those who are oppressing us. And they're just going about, you're just going to cause them to go about trying to oppress us even more. It's backward thinking, folks. If we think that the enemy's going to stop until he's obliterated us, we're kidding ourselves. And there's going to come a point, you know, it's already here, where the church is either going to speak up or we're going to be silenced completely. Now, God's church is not going to be silenced. But do not think, if God wiped out Israel and sent them to Babylon, don't think that we are a privileged people, that God will not allow judgment to come in this nation if we don't repent. And it's got to happen in the house of God. It's got to happen here. Is that what God wants? Just his church to stay silent about his nature and his word? Or does God want us to represent him accurately, regardless of what it may cost us? Does God want us to keep slaving away and help build this world's systems of ungodliness and immorality? Or does he want us to come out from among the world's ungodly and immoral systems and live for his standards of righteousness and build his kingdom? So here's the question we need to ask ourselves. Are we going to live with a slave mentality like the Hebrews in Egypt? Or are we going to stand up in this culture and be ambassadors for Christ? Yes. Yes, folks, we definitely are living in a day when taking a stand for righteousness in the name of Christ is becoming more and more unpopular. And yes, even though our motive for doing so is, and even if our motive is to love people, and it is, amen, and to see them become free in Christ, even if we continue to function in that manner, it's going to come with a cost of more and more pressure to compromise. It's going to come with the cost of being accused of being hateful and discriminatory. It's going to come with the cost of being rejected by people who are mad because we won't compromise. And yes, at some point, it will come with the cost of persecution. Now, we don't know the kind of persecution that other nations have experienced. But I will tell you, if this agenda keeps going forward, people are going to lose their homes, their livelihood, their freedom. Religious liberty will be out the window. But who are we going to fear? God or man? Who are we going to represent? Christ? Or are we going to live for our own comfort and self-preservation? And whose power and plans are we going to trust? God's or this world's systems? Let's look at what God promises for those who trust in Him and stay faithful as His ambassadors. Let's look at Psalm 9, 7 through 10. Get ready, because this is good. The Lord reigns forever. We could stop right there. Right? He has established His throne, listen to this, for judgment. Every knee will bow and tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen? He rules the world in righteousness and judges the peoples with equity. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed. Are you glad? A stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know Your name trust in You. For You, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek You. Sing the praises of the Lord enthroned in Zion. Proclaim among the nations what He has done. For He avenges blood. For He who avenges blood remembers. I want you to think about that. How much innocent blood has been shed in this nation. But He who avenges blood remembers. He does not ignore the cries of the afflicted. Does that mean we'll never be afflicted? Does that mean blood will never need to be avenged? Of course not. But God remembers, and He is our shield and our defender. Even in the midst of suffering, just ask the Hebrew slaves. See, just like God did not ignore the groaning and suffering of the Egyptians, but remembered His covenant with Abraham on behalf of the people, God does not ignore the suffering we experience as His ambassadors. You need to know that, folks, because we're going to experience it. But He doesn't ignore it. Don't ever think that He is, you know, not around or that He doesn't see. He remembers it too. Amen? Instead, God will remember every act of righteousness we have done in His name and in the love of Christ that has brought suffering in our life. Guess what He's going to do? He's going to reward it. He's going to reward it. How do I know that? For the Bible tells me so. Amen? So let's look at where the Bible tells us this. 1 Peter 4:12 through 19, we're going to look at a few passages that bring this all together. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ. Listen, this is why. So that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. Well, there's got to be a reason for that, right? Something's coming when His glory is revealed for those who suffered. We're going to rejoice then. He says, if you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed. Really? Yes, really. For the Spirit of the glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time, listen to this, for judgment to begin with God's household. I want you to hear that. It is time for judgment to begin with God's household. That's where it starts. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will, listen, should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. Now notice how this passage says judgment begins with the house of God. That's because we will give an account for how we have lived as ambassadors of Christ. We will give an account. But what I want you to understand is I believe this judgment that Peter's talking about is actually twofold. Number one, I believe it is eternal judgment related to how we served Christ as an ambassador. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, "For we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we will receive what is due us, whether good or bad." Amen? So if we live for Christ as ambassadors and we're willing to lay our lives down and even experience suffering in this world as a result of it, there will be an eternal glory and reward. If we seek to satisfy ourselves and live a self-preserving life, there will be a loss because we live for the world rather than for the kingdom of God. But there's another form of judgment. Notice how it says it's a judgment of God's household. Somebody know that's not just individuals. That's also the body of Christ. Okay? His household. What that means is how God's household, his church, functions within a nation will determine how that nation is judged. Right? And any judgment that comes because Christ's church fails to be his ambassadors to their nation will come through suffering and persecution first to the church. You want to know how I know judgment is upon us as a nation? Because the church has been silent and she's now reaping the consequences of it. We're now starting to see that. We are not headed in a good direction, folks. We're not headed in a good direction. Judgment is coming to the house of God first. Too many pastors and church leaders do not want to upset the apple cart, and they are opening the door to judgment in the church. Too many Christians and Christian families, because they don't want to upset their peers or even family members, are compromising God's word. And because it's becoming more and more widespread, and people in the body of Christ are acting like Egyptian slaves who are more worried about pain and suffering than standing for the truth, rather than being true representatives and ambassadors of Christ, they're compromising. And judgment is coming to this nation and to the church. And we're now getting a clear taste of what that looks like. We really are, folks. We really are. But here's what Christ is saying to the church, I believe, of the United States of America today. I believe a couple of passages, because how many know God's word stands the test of time? He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? We're going to look at Galatians 6, 7 through 10, and Hebrews 6, 10 through 12. Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. How many know? He wouldn't say do not be deceived if there wasn't a potential of being deceived, right? Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. Now you can say mocking things, but you can't mock God because he has the final say. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Listen to what this says. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. How many know the body of Christ needs to unify, not point fingers at one another? I'm talking about unity, not uniformity. Amen? There's a difference. Hebrews 6, 10 through 12. God is not unjust. Listen to this. He will not, you ought to take encouragement by this. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him. God remembers, folks. Let me start again. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. We want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end so that what you hope for may be fully realized. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience, here it is, inherit what was promised. Amen? That's that eternal reward. I want to bring this home this morning. Over the last several weeks, months actually, since the beginning of this year, I believe the Lord has really, for a reason, challenged and called us to focus on the supernatural power of God. And the other thing he's doing that he called us to do from the beginning of this year is to develop systems of mobilization for the church. And the way that the Lord began to really show us that was even the year before when he said, get your nets ready. Anybody remember any of that stuff? Okay. Now, do you think God tells us to do these things for no reason at all? See, this is, I'm going to talk pastorally to you now. Okay, we've been talking about how we need to be ambassadors in Christ and all of that. I'm going to talk about us. Okay? I believe there's a danger, especially with doing a series like we've done. And we've been talking consistently week after week after week after week about the spiritual blessings and the fact of our authority in Christ and the power of God in our lives and all of these things. I believe the danger is that we can, it just becomes familiar to us. We hear it, I mean, not that we necessarily are familiar with the information, but the fact that we're on the same topic, if you will, and we're progressively, systematically building on it. But the reality is that we can't grow unless we're line upon line and precept upon precept. Amen? But the danger is that we can just come into church week after week after week, and we can believe that it's just one week at a time, and this week is isolated from this week, and this week is isolated from this week, and this week is isolated from this week, on and on and on. And we don't realize that God is equipping us for something. God doesn't want you to know about the supernatural, believe it or not, just so that you can live the American dream. And you can be happy. He wants you to believe and know the supernatural so that we can be ambassadors for Christ. How many know Egypt would have never broken if there wasn't the supernatural of God and his power being operated? Now, I know it came in the form of judgment. But I'm going to tell you, in the early church, the first century church, when the supernatural was operating, and it wasn't just operating in judgment, it was operating because the church was being healed and restored and delivered and freed. I'm going to tell you that both persecution and the supernatural go hand in hand. What does this tell you? God's getting us ready for something. It ain't necessarily going to be easy. And you're going to need the supernatural. These messages, I'm not just wasting my breath every week. I hope you're holding on to what's being taught you And I'm not saying this just because it's about me, because I don't want you to be crushed by what's coming. I want you to be the ones who are overcoming. I want you to be the ones who are setting people free. I want you to be the ones that are delivering and healing and overcoming and over and walking in the power of God. And I want this church to be mobilized. And I'm sorry. Sometimes I do not think we take this seriously enough. We're still too American at LifeGate Community Church and some of our own thinking. We think it's optional whether I'm here or I'm not here. We think it's optional. Well, I can do this or I can't do that. You have that liberty. You do. But you're not going to like it if you keep living like a slave and you keep getting what slaves get. Some of us aren't trusting God with our giving. Some of us aren't trusting God with the needs in our lives. The world's problems are too big. What am I going to do? Woe is me. Pharaoh, Pharaoh, Pharaoh. Time to start breaking out, folks. It's time to start being an ambassador. And it's not just about us. And I'll tell you what, if you'll seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he'll add all these things unto you as well. But too much, we're looking at Pharaoh. Where's the straw? Where's the straw? If I give up my straw, I'm not going to have any straw. Right? Where is our faith? I didn't even plan to go there today. Folks, listen. Do you want to see the supernatural? Yes. How many know you don't see the supernatural unless you need it? If you can do it in the natural, you don't need the supernatural. How many know living in the safe, comfortable zone of our little church and never telling anybody about Jesus, which is what an ambassador does, not only tells them about Jesus, but what Jesus' positions are, that'll stall some people in their tracks right there. Right? Now, yes, we need to tell them that, guess what, that's his position, but he's willing to give you grace and to redeem you and to give you a hope and a future and a plan for your life, because he's a good God. He doesn't want to judge you. But if we don't judge ourselves, then we'll have to come under judgment. We're going to have to just resist playing it safe for the sake of personal comfort or self-preservation, or even to just keep the peace with others, sometimes even with our own families. We're going to have to step out of place into places and into situations where we need the supernatural. Listen, if remaining comfortable and avoiding having people get upset with us or reject us is our main goal, we don't need the supernatural then. Israel was doing just fine without the supernatural power of God. Just leave us alone, Moses. Go back to where you came from. Don't mess with our perfect little comfortable slave life we got going here. There's way too much slave mentality in the church today. Way too many people want their comfort, and they don't want their churches messed with. So if remaining comfortable and avoiding having people get upset with you or reject us is the main goal, we've arrived, right? I'm talking the church at large, but if it applies to us, let's look in the mirror. And if remaining comfortable and avoiding all of those things is our goal, then the church doesn't need to mobilize in the name of Christ either. We don't need to develop systems within our church, because we can just live comfortably without them as well. Because guess what? Systems are about multiplication. That's why we need them, folks. That's why God's calling us to this. And systems involve all of us mobilizing together, united, working together, not as a bunch of individuals. See, if all we want is status quo Christianity, we're good to go. However, if we want to be on the cutting edge of what God is doing, how many realize the church is going to have to rise up and mobilize? I'm sharing these things today. I was just going to go right back into continuing my series. And I've got some good things in store. God's got some good things in store. I just get to be the first download. Let's put it that way, okay? But I'm going to tell you, I really believe that God wanted me to call a wake-up to us. And Memorial Day weekend was the perfect time to do it. I'm going to tell you, you have no idea how much I wrestled with this message. I mean, it was rough. I believe the enemy was fighting me every step of the way. But this is our clarion call. As we go back into what we begin to learn, and far as the supernatural is, we're mobilizing. It's all of us. It's all of us together that's going to make that happen. Who's ready to stop fearing man and fear God, even if it's unpopular and people don't like it? Anybody ready? Who's ready to step out and be ambassadors of Christ rather than just enable the world to keep forcing an ungodly and immoral system upon us? I'm not talking about going out and purposely being ornery and harsh and belligerent. I'm talking about going out with the most compassionate and loving attitude we can have and not compromise God's word and standards, even with those we work with, or with our family members, or with our friends, or with our coworkers or neighbors, and thus in this culture. I'm not talking about doing and saying what's right and what God has called us to do as ambassadors. Believing God to supernaturally intervene and overcome the obstacles and challenges that seem impossible based on what we see in the natural. We need to have the heart of a soldier in the army of God. We need to be willing to go to Planned Parenthood. We need to be willing to speak with others about transgenderism, which is really not transgender because it is not a gender that supersedes genders. It's actually gender confusion. I encourage you to start using that terminology and stop using the term transgender. Start saying we have an issue of gender confusion in our nation. Not saying that to be, say that with as much compassion. I'm going to tell you how you can be compassionate about this. It's the same if you saw somebody that was struggling with bulimia or anorexia. Do you realize that they perceive themselves as fat when they're not, and they feel fat, and it's all... Do you realize it's the same thing that's going on with the general gender confusion? They see themselves as the other sex. They perceive themselves that way. They feel that way. It's because something has happened in their life that's brought confusion, that's brought harm to them. And rather than being disgusted with them, just like that bulimic or anorexic person, we need to have utmost compassion for them. We need to grieve with them, and we need to tell them, listen, God's created you the way you are. You are unique. You are special. You are a treasure. You don't have to be something else. You can be who God's created. And yes, you may be struggling, and it may be confusing, but whatever has brought you to that point, God wants to heal you. God wants to set you free. God wants to show you his love and compassion. That's how we handle this issue. We speak the truth in love, but that's being an ambassador. That's not saying, well, you know, the culture is telling me I'm a bigot or I'm a hater. So, you know, as the church, we just acquiesce to what the world says. That's not being an ambassador. Folks, that's not being an ambassador. That's letting the enemy steal, kill, and destroy. Are you willing for somebody like that to take their wrath, to take the wrath of the Michigan State Board of Education, to take the wrath of the judicial department of our president Are you willing to take the wrath that Moses took from Pharaoh to be an ambassador of reconciliation to this world? That's where the rubber meets the road. That's what this church is called to be. So we will go to Planned Parenthood, and we will speak to these issues compassionately, but we will be a voice. And folks, listen, I don't know where the church is going to land on this, but I know where God has landed on this. And if God can take a guy who stutters, and I don't mean that disrespectfully, Moses said I could talk so good, so he had to have Aaron help him. If God can use a man like that, who was a murderer, who took matters into his own hands because he thought he was all that in a bag of chips, and then when he found out he wasn't, he went the other extreme to where, Lord, can't you ask somebody else to do this? Okay, I'll let Aaron help you. Right? If he can use Moses, he can use you and me as an ambassador. Folks, that's why we need the supernatural. That's why we need to mobilize in this church. And I'm praying that you will do everything you can to join with us in that process. Amen? Are you willing? Now, Tony's here today. He didn't know I was going to do this. I know he's got a word, something he wants to share. I know. Well, after I'm, you know, in a minute. Somebody go get those signs, would you? You know what I'm talking about? Tony had it in his heart some time ago that, you know, this is an election year, right? And you're seeing all kinds of elect so-and-so and on and on and on in people's yards. So he said, I think it would be good if we had a LifeGate Community Church sign that we could put out in our yards. Amen? So we talked with the outreach team, and I won't give all the details because I don't want to embarrass people and all that stuff. But we have some signs available. Okay. Yeah. Now that's just a yes, amen. That's just a small thing that we can do, amen? But let's let our light shine out there. Amen. That's just one small way. But let's be a voice wherever we go in this world so that people can be free, amen? And I am asking you, honestly, I'm going to kind of probably take, I'm going to, for the next few weeks, because we got months, or the next month or so, we've got vacation and stuff coming up, so I'm probably just going to veer away a little bit about what we were focusing on, but come fall, we'll be coming back to that. So, actually, take them in the back, if you would, and people can grab them on the way out. Sorry, here he's already getting this undone. Yeah, here, you want to see what they look like? So it says, ready for a life change, LifeGate Community Church, and then our website. Amen? Okay. So if you would like one, pick one up on your way out, and let's be ambassadors for Christ. Tony?